educator. If I sound like I have a bit of a scratchy voice, that's because, like any good draft analyst, immediately following the NFL draft, I got super sick, lost my voice. So that's why I've been away from the podcast for the last week, but excited to get back at it here. Post-draft, I'd like to get into the actual projections, because that's one thing that I think makes the rookie big board actionable. I think that's one thing that makes it special, is that I actually go in and put in actual projections here in the context of the entire fantasy football landscape. If you want to go in and see the actual projection sheet, that's available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, along with the full rookie rankings, the dynasty rankings, the Devy rankings, the 2024 rookie guide, and of course the rookie big board Discord, which has just been absolutely out of control in the absolute best way. So much fun working through everybody's rookie drafts in that on the clock channel, the Trade Talk channel. It is the absolute best time of the year to be in on the rookie big board over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. All right, so the best way that I could do this here is I'm going to go through my top 12 rookie wide receiver projections. It was really hard for me to give a hard stop at 12. I think I could have gone 15 or 20, but that gets us to the top. You know, there's 12 rookies within the top 60 wide receivers in my projections, which shows a really strong class. In that top 60, that's a nice clean cutoff, a wide receiver 5 or higher. So anybody we talk about on this episode today, I think has the opportunity to make an actionable impact on your team. All right, let's get into my wide receiver one. Pretty comfortable here, Marvin Harrison Jr. I have him as the 7th highest wide receiver in my seasonal projections. Easily the highest impact rookie wide receiver. Right under Puka Nacua, wide receiver 6. Right above Garrett Wilson, wide receiver 8. Marvin Harrison Jr. for me is pushing historical projections. Now, whenever I do my projections, especially with the rookies, I do base it in a foundation of course, the offense, of course, the skill set, but also historical rookie production numbers. And I have Marvin Harrison coming in here at 140 targets. Now, that's going to put him on track for a little bit above the Jalen Waddle 2021 season, or I should say right on track with the Jalen Waddle 2021 season. Jalen Waddle had 141 targets as a rookie with the Dolphins that year, and above the Justin Jefferson numbers. Justin Jefferson had 125 targets. For context, Puka Nacua last year had 160 targets. So it's not the most aggressive projection, but it is definitely an aggressive projection. But you look at the Arizona offense, the opportunity is there. You know, it's going to be Trey McBride as the second target in that offense, and then Michael Wilson, who I do like, still as a wide receiver 3. I got Marvin Harrison Jr. at 25% of the market share. You probably could bump that up to 28 without it seeming too aggressive, but I think 25 is a nice safe number to work with. 1,300 yards is actually not even the most aggressive number I could have gone with. Jamar Chase had 1,450 as a rookie. Justin Jefferson had 1,400 as a rookie, but it definitely puts him in that top tier. It's an aggressive projection. 8 receiving touchdowns, that's a key number here. I mean, you could go back to 2021. Jamar Chase had 13. Justin Jefferson had 7 in 2020. Jaden Reed in 2023 had 8, so it's absolutely possible. Chase Claypool had 9 in 2020. A.J. Brown had 8 in 2019. So 8 is an absolutely obtainable number. And although it's an aggressive projection for Marvin Harrison Jr., I do feel pretty comfortable making that projection. So this is where things start to get a lot less comfortable here. The next highest projection for me is Malik Nabers, who's coming in at wide receiver 28. So just to be clear here, I still really like this wide receiver class, and there's nothing wrong with using a top six pick on the wide receiver 28 for seasonal projections, especially when you're going to be able to project out an improvement next season. But that's realistically where I see the impact coming from with Malik Nabers. So you put him in the context of the Giants offense, and I think without question, he's the top target guy. I am at 122 targets. That's 22% of the receiving share here. Nobody else is even close. I mean, it's probably Darius Slayton still at 14%, and then Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger, assuming Darren Waller are gone. I think all of these guys are going to fight and consume targets. And by the way, I think Tyrone Tracy's going to get a decent amount of targets out of the backfield. So for the Giants, it seems to be Malik Nabers is the one. And then there's a 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D, right? And they're going to fight for targets and kind of cannibalize those themselves. Here's the problem with the Giants offense. It's a low passing threshold offense. So 555 passing attempts for the full offense. That's not an offense that's super attractive. More concerning is the touchdowns here. So I mentioned it, you know, looking at that touchdown upside that you had with a guy like Jaden Reed last year, right, or A.J. Brown in 2019. I don't think you're going to get that with the New York Giants offense. I have Malik Nabers at 5 receiving touchdowns, and that is not a knock on Malik Nabers at all. If you go back to Garrett Wilson's 2022 season, he had 4 receiving touchdowns. If you go back to Zay Flowers' rookie season in 2023, 5 receiving touchdowns. So guys who we still felt like had pretty good rookie seasons, T. Higgins in 2020, 6 receiving touchdowns. Guys who we still like and who have appreciated over time and have gained value, that low passing touchdown threshold can just limit a little bit of their short-term upside here. So I'm still a big fan of Malik Nabers. There's nothing wrong with drafting him onto your team again with that, you know, top 5, top 6 rookie pick. Just understand, you know, he's probably going to still fit into the wide receiver 2 or possibly even the flex spot if you have a super loaded wide receiver room already. All right, next up here is Roma Dunze. And I got to tell you, Roma Dunze is, I think, the most fascinating projection to make. And whenever you're making projections, you have to understand that there is a wide range of outcomes. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to put the most realistic picture with the information that you have, and then you want to be able to be flexible and pivot. And my projections get updated all the time over the course of the summer. But you have DJ Moore, you have Keenan Allen in this offense, and I don't think they're just going to totally forget about Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. But when I see Roma Dunze in this offense, what I like about it is I see a very clear role for him. I think he's going to play in a traditional X-type role. Keenan Allen should be in the slot, and DJ Moore should be in the flanker role. So when I look at Roma Dunze, I project him out for 18% of the market share. Now, that's below DJ Moore, who I have at 20%, but above Keenan Allen, who I have at 16%. And Roma Dunze, I think, has a little bit more of that touchdown upside. So overall with the Dunze, 103 targets, 67% catch rate here, 7 touchdowns. The unknown, the fascinating part of this is that we have Caleb Williams, a rookie quarterback, coming in, right? And you never know with a rookie quarterback or a new quarterback on an offense who is going to click, right? Who is he going to have that chemistry with? Because a rookie quarterback is going to find that guy he leans on. So if he clicks out of camp with Keenan Allen, maybe Allen is the guy with 103 targets and you know, Roma Dunze is down there with 85. Or maybe he really clicks with a Dunze and a Dunze ends up with 125 targets, which would be more similar to what we saw from a Jamar Chase rookie season or even an Amon-Ra St. Brown rookie season in 2021. So I'm saying all of this not to just talk in circles, but just to emphasize with Roma Dunze, I think there's a wide range of outcomes. He's wide receiver 31 in my seasonal projections, right below Terry McLaurin, who, by the way, I don't think is getting enough credit for a nice little bump there with his QB upgrade. Right above Deontay Johnson, who I think is just going to absolutely eat targets in that Carolina offense. So a Dunze, you know, quite frankly, he could finish as wide receiver 15 instead of 31. It wouldn't surprise me at all. He could finish as wide receiver 40, kind of like what Jaxon Smith-Njigba did last year. Actually, I think he was wide receiver 37, but you get the point. There's a range of outcomes of Roma Dunze, and I'm seeing him consistently being drafted 107, 108. You all know I've been up on Roma Dunze, I've been down on Roma Dunze, and I landed in a, you know, good. I'm good with Roma Dunze. And if you're drafting him 107, 108, and you have an understanding that you could be drafting a wide receiver 2 in seasonal or a wide receiver 3 in seasonal, I'm very good with that. I'm very good with that value. I think we've landed in the right place on Roma Dunze. We appreciate him. We can get excited about him, but we can do it within reason. So that's my take here on Roma Dunze. Now, the next guy up in my projections, and I just, Here's the thing, folks. I put the projections, I go off of the offense, I go off of the player, and I will tweak over time. So I'm not saying that I'll have Roman Wilson as my fourth highest rookie wide receiver in terms of projection when we get to this point in August. But right now, as of this time, that's where Roman Wilson fits into this offense. And I know everybody is scared of this offense, but I like Roman Wilson in it. You know, I've talked about it consistently. I've been higher on his tape, his ability to separate. If you look at a guy like, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, who we may have questions about timing at this point in their career, you want a wide receiver who can separate. And I like George Pickens. I don't think they're going to be able to rely on George Pickens to separate. Pat Freiermuth is afterthought on this offense last year. Who's the next highest wide receiver up, folks? Calvin Austin? Listen, I like Calvin Austin. We know he's on this team to be a special teams player, right? And so unless you're going to, and quite frankly, even if you know, I have Najee Harris and Jalen Warren combined for 97 targets. So even if you put targets in that direction, there are still about 108 targets left over for Roman Wilson. And even if he only has 4 receiving touchdowns, that's still going to get him to wide receiver 35 in my projections. It's a really nice place to be. And so sometimes, you know, even as I'm going through my drafts, it's nobody's taking Roman Wilson high. He's falling to the third round. And I keep asking myself why. And I keep going back and I'm trying to be critical. But when I put him in the spreadsheet, folks, I just like what I see. So that's it. I'm sticking with it. I'm doubling down. When the projection sheet plays it out, Roman Wilson, he's looking really good for me. And the last guy who's going to sneak into wide receiver 3 territory here is going to be Ladd McConkey of the Chargers. So McConkey, again, a wide range of outcomes, but I think there's a little bit more floor with McConkey. And I got to tell you, I actually got pretty aggressive with his projection. So I think wide receiver 36 is pretty aggressive because you have to understand that this is not the same Chargers offense that we've been playing with. The last couple years, 630, 625, you know, a lot of passing attempts, a high octane passing offense. I dropped them down to 525 passing attempts. This is going to be a run-first offense, all right? It's one of the reasons I'm pivoting off of Justin Herbert wherever I can. I'm proceeding with caution. But past Ladd McConkey, what do we have for this wide receiver core? Josh Palmer, who, folks, I'm sorry. If you're fading Josh Palmer, I do think Harbaugh is going to love Josh Palmer. But, you know, that only gets us so far. Quentin Johnston is still there. And I thought I was pretty nice to Quentin Johnston because I saved him 84 targets in this offense. Quite frankly, I could see Harbaugh, you know, spending one preseason with Quentin Johnston and giving him 25 targets this season. But I was nice. You know, I'm sticking with that draft capital. Going to give him a shot at his sophomore season. We give him 84 targets. The leftover here, Brendan Rice is there to block, folks. Darius Davis, he's there to play special teams. All right, like both of those guys in those roles. It's going to be 110 targets for Ladd McConkey. And Conkey's got good hands, man. You put him at 72% catch percentage. I think Justin Herbert is not only going to love Ladd McConkey, I think he's going to need Ladd McConkey. I think that's going to be the one guy he's going to be able to consistently rely on. So I have him leading the way in this Chargers offense. You've just got to be realistic about what the Chargers offense is going to yield. And I think at best, it's a high-end wide receiver 3. And what's more likely here is somewhere around wide receiver 36. Let's get into Keon Coleman. There might not be a more I don't want to use the word confusing. That doesn't feel right, but it's just we need to see how this Bills offense is going to play out, right? You have Khalil Shakir, who I think the Bills like, and I think this offseason has really suggested that Khalil Shakir is a buy. Unfortunately, I can't buy Khalil Shakir pretty much anywhere because I pretty much have him everywhere, right? This was a guy that I drafted in the 3rd or 4th round in his rookie season, and it's just starting to mature. Past that, you have Curtis Samuel, who I think is a really nice kind of gadget piece still. Matt Collins, who I actually think is a kind of a nice guy to have rotating onto the field. But I think we need to be really clear and honest with ourselves. I think Josh Allen is going to want to throw the ball through Dalton Kincaid, and the Bills are going to want him throwing the ball and hyper-prioritizing Keon Coleman. I know some folks are worried about Keon Coleman's catch percentage, right? Those hands. I got to tell you, the hands are not as questionable as they seem. All right, if you're watching the tape, you're going to see he's adjusting a lot. I think he's actually got really nice ball tracking. I think he's got the ability to adjust. And quite frankly, folks, if we could have given Keon Coleman one quarterback It's Josh Allen. He's going to target him deep. He's going to lean into that straight line acceleration ability. He's going to lean into that big play above the rim, big man catch radius, right? So I went with my Keon Coleman projection because he's a volatile player. I went conservative. I went 60% catch. That's, I think, lower than it needs to be. I think he could be at 62. I think he could be at 65%, but I went conservative and I went with 6 receiving touchdowns, which quite frankly, I think is also kind of conservative. You know, if you look at his projection line, it's pretty similar to a guy like DK Metcalf, who if you go back to his 2019 season, it was 7 touchdowns, it was a 58% catch rate, it was 100 targets. It's very, very similar. All right, and DK Metcalf has, if you go back to 2018, he has the 24th highest rookie season among any wide receiver. So a good rookie season, right? Not this stellar, not this smash rookie season. But I think if Keon Coleman gives you with Josh Allen what DK Metcalf gave us in his rookie season, we're going to be walking away very happy with the fact that we're drafting him, you know, 201, 202. Next up here, next highest guy is going to be Brian Thomas Jr. out of Jackson. Villain. I like Brian Thomas Jr. He's coming in at wide receiver 40. That's just behind the aforementioned Keon Coleman, and it's just above Calvin Ridley. And so when I'm looking at Brian Thomas Jr., here's the thing. I think the Jags are going to need 3 weeks, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. We need September just to kind of sort out what exactly this offense is going to look like, right? But I think that as the season progresses on, Brian Thomas Jr., he's going to have some big weeks, and he's going to be more consistently involved. And this happens all the time. There's nothing wrong with this. If you went back to the first 2 weeks of Justin Jefferson's rookie season, you would have thought he was an absolute dud. I mean, he barely produced at all. So I'm just saying this to, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., I think, will actually be a consistent wide receiver 3 producer as we get into the mid and late part of the season. But I think his targets are going to start off a little slow. I think his ADOT might start off a little bit lower. The touchdowns might not come right away, but they should get there more consistently. And overall, I think he ends up as the 3rd highest amount of targets in this offense. It should go with Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram first, and then Brian Thomas Jr. on the outside should really be the next guy in this offense. I really think Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. are a really complementary pair. I think Brian Thomas Jr.'s ability to work downfield, to win with that first step, is going to be really nice for Trevor Lawrence as he looks to take that next step in his career. I think Lawrence's arm is a really, really nice pairing for Thomas Jr.'s ability to win downfield. And I think Thomas Jr. is going to unlock something that really Trevor Lawrence has never had in his pro career, that ability to win downfield consistently. So I'm excited for it. I think Brian Thomas is going to be really good. I just want you to proceed with a little bit of caution here off the bat in the season. Now, speaking of proceeding with caution, the Denver Broncos offense, it's kind of a mess. And I gotta say, you know, this is one where you put it into the spreadsheet and then you take a look at it and you say, are you sure? But this is what the numbers are telling me, so this is what I'm going to tell you. I have Troy Franklin as wide receiver 43. Now, just to put that in context, it's a little bit above Nico Collins. It's a little bit above Khalil Shakir in my projection. So it's not this over-the-top smash projection, but I do have Troy Franklin with 88 targets. I think he's got really nice hands. He's going to have that preset chemistry with Bo Nix, and I talked about that rookie quarterback chemistry earlier with Caleb Williams. Well, guess what? Bo Nix and Troy Franklin already have that chemistry, and it's not like they were a solid college pair. They were a dynamic college pair. So I have him catching 68% of 88 targets, which is not an overwhelming number of targets. 5 receiving touchdowns, 14.5 yards per reception. The key is if Troy Franklin can win deeper downfield, right? So I still have Cortland Sutton as the most targets in this offense. I have Marvin Mims at 17%, right above Troy Franklin at 16%. So I'm not coming out here and trying to overly hype my guy. But what you have to understand about Bo Nix, whether you love him or you hate him, he's a high completion percentage guy. He's a distributor, right? right? He's a smart decision maker. He's going to be able to get the ball in the hands of his guys. And if you want to, you know, look for a comparison point here for the type of rookie season that Troy Franklin could be looking at, you could go back and you could look at the 2019 season for Deontay Johnson, who had 92 targets, 5 touchdowns, 64% catch rate. So, you know, I'm projecting a little bit above that. If you look at what that equaled for Deontay Johnson, that's the 32nd highest rookie wide receiver season since 2018. You know, a solid rookie type season could absolutely be in play for him. So working further down the projections here, we're going to get into a name. Well, not quite yet. I was going to say, there's a name who you might be getting a little nervous that you haven't heard yet, and we'll get to him. But first, I want to take a pit stop here with Jermaine Burton. Jermaine Burton is a really fascinating rookie projection, and I know I've said that a couple times here, but we truly don't know the role that he's fitting in here. Now, I went with this projection of the mindset that Zach Taylor and the Cincinnati Bengals are going to make a point to try to get Jermaine Burton involved in 3 wide receiver sets. So this is with the assumption that Chase and Higgins will be on the field, and they are by far the top target getters in this offense. I don't think Jermaine Burton is going to legitimately challenge either of those guys, and I think Jermaine Burton is really in this offense to be a replacement to T. Higgins next year, but that's not going to stop them from getting their 3rd round pick on the field this year. So I have Jermaine Burton pulling in 68% of 86 targets as that clear wide receiver 3 in the offense. 4 receiving touchdowns. Here's the thing. Jermaine Burton really was a deep field guy. So I have him at 15.5 yards per reception. I think Joe Burrow is going to look for him, quite often. Burton, quite often downfield, I should say. Burton is going to be somebody who you will probably appreciate more in best ball formats. I think his production will be inconsistent. I think he's the type of guy who's going to get those extra stats where, you know, maybe Chase is banged up for a game and they're not really running him, you know, as hard with his routes. Maybe Higgins misses a game or two, right? And then Burton is the guy that plugs in. On a weekly consistent basis, you're probably not going to even out to that wide receiver 48. I think he could have some wide receiver 25 weeks. I think he could have some wide receiver 65 weeks. So that's where you always have to be careful when you're looking at projections. You have to always put it into context. Here. So let's talk about the context of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, because here's the guy I was alluding to just a second ago, Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy's a really, I think, tough projection, right? Because when you look at this Kansas City offense, I just don't think it's what you think it is, right? Like, Mahomes actually has been year over year throwing the ball less. He really has been. He's still got a great projection. He's still going to throw the ball 645 times. He's still going to have 33 passing touchdowns. But Worthy, I think, is a little bit misunderstood in the way he was employed at Texas. We think of him as just a deep threat, a high yards per reception type guy, a high ADOT type guy. But he actually was used at all 3 levels of the field. Xavier Worthy is very effective in the short field. And quite frankly, folks, he might be the most effective in the midfield. You know, he works really well over the middle of the field. And I think Hollywood Brown is going to lead the way in targets out of the wide receiver group in Kansas City. And then please, 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 you always have to remember that Travis Kelce is the primary read, the first guy that's going to get the ball in this offense. So Xavier Worthy for me is the target 3 in this offense, and that is assuming a suspension for Rashee Rice. If Rashee Rice somehow manages to not be suspended, then Xavier Worthy really could be struggling for targets in this offense. Now, I have him at 90 targets, which is still a really good target share, 704 receiving yards, 5 receiving touchdowns. The touchdowns is going to be the key. If he can get up to 8 or 9 touchdowns, then we're going to be talking about Jaden Reed from last year, right? A really kind of high-level type guy. But if he doesn't, I think we might be looking more at Josh Downs from last year, who had 98 targets, who had 771 yards. And you know, now Josh Downs only had two receiving touchdowns, so I think Xavier Worthy's going to be a little bit higher than that. What also is working in Xavier Worthy's favor is I do think that Andy Reid's going to get the ball in his hands on the ground. I wouldn't be shocked to see him add a rushing touchdown into it. That is part of my projection for him. So there's definitely upside with Xavier Worthy, but I do think there's going to be some folks who are drafting him at 109 or even I've seen him go as high as 107, 108, who may walk away a little bit disappointed thinking fast guy lands in the offense with the best NFL quarterback. It may just kind of be missing a step in translation there. Now, Adonai Mitchell is a really fun one as well. When you look at his NFL fit in the Indianapolis Colts offense, it's a really nice NFL fit. Josh Downs, tear it up in the slot. Michael Pittman working what I believe to be the more, actually technically the flanker role in the Colts offense, even though it's the you know, what you think of as the X role, that high volume role, that'll be Michael Pittman. And I think Mitchell's going to be that wide receiver, you know, technically too, playing opposite of Michael Pittman on the outside there. I think the targets are going to go easily first and foremost through Michael Pittman. Not a question for me. Pittman, 137 targets. He's the dude. And then I actually think Josh Downs is going to have the second most targets with 99. Obviously, much closer to the line of scrimmage than either Pittman or Adonai Mitchell, but he should be at 99. Mitchell's going to be, I haven't projected, at 88 targets. So he's coming in here as wide receiver 51, just to kind of put you into context of where we're at right now in the projections. He's right there with Christian Watson. So very similar to Christian Watson, I think we're going to see some big weeks from Adonai Mitchell. And I think we're going to see some weeks where the 80 Mitchell stands are going to be victory lapping all over Twitter. And then there's going to be some super quiet weeks as well. So Mitchell, you know, when I was talking about Burton in terms of, you have to just understand that when I say he's the wide receiver 51, that doesn't mean he's going to be the wide receiver 51 every week. This is a really big example of this. Mitchell could have a wide receiver 1 week, not, you know, wide receiver one overall, but a top 12 wide receiver week where he could, you know, pull in two touchdowns and, 150 yards and six receptions and have a really nice day. Or he could have easily have a week where he gets four targets and catches one ball for 18 yards. So just, you're going to have to ride that a little bit with Mitchell, somebody who, of course, I like a little bit better in best ball formats. Well, let's move on here to Polk, Jalen Polk here in the Patriots offense. And, you know, Javon Baker, he's a little bit lower than Polk, but we're talking about the Patriots offense. Why wouldn't we talk about both of these guys in the context of the offense? I don't know, man. I mean, it's tough. The New England offense is going to be tough. There's so many factors you have to consider when doing the projection for the Patriots offense. I think Brissett is going to be the dude at least to start. I think Drake May is going to get on the field. You know, when I do the projection breakdown right now, I have 4 games for Brissett, 13 for May. It could be 8 for Brissett. It could be 12 for Brissett. But I feel confident saying it's going to be at least 4 for Brissett, right? And, you know, I think his play style does work fairly well with Polk. I think he's going to like him as that consistent, reliable, sure-handed guy, a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. He's got I have him projected to lead the way with 5 receiving touchdowns, 16% of the market share. But Kendrick Bourne is still there, folks. Demario Douglas played very well out of the slot last year. And then Javon Baker, I think, will get his as well. I have him at 78% of the targets, 4 receiving touchdowns. We talk about chemistry a lot, and I don't want to keep going back to this, right? But not only do you have the question of, you know, will Polk or will Baker be the guy who clicks a little bit more early on with Drake May, but who's going to click with Jacoby Brissett? When does that change happen? Is there one guy who's going to be able to do that with both of them? You know, you don't know. How are they going to change the play calling? I imagine the Patriots are going to be much more ready to give Brissett a wider range of play calling options here off the bat compared to Drake May. There's just a lot of question marks in this offense. So, you know, if you're taking Polk or Baker in the third round, which is where most of these guys are going, and you're willing to sit there and understand that there might be some, you know, really nice weeks for them and some weeks where they disappear, especially as this team kind of finds its rhythm over the course of their rookie season. I just think that's the right approach and right mentality to take. So that is my top 12 technically 13 because I snuck in Javon Baker, wide receiver projections. I'm going to just talk about one more guy real quick because you're probably wondering, he got left off the list. He's the next highest guy up. And I told myself I'd cut it off after 12 wide receivers, but I really want to get him in. Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett, real quick, 90 targets in this Panthers offense. I think Deontay Johnson's going to be the first guy. By the way, I really like Jatavion Sanders in this offense, but we're not talking about tight ends in this episode. Here's the big question is going to be, what does that catch percentage look like? I have 62%. You know, Bryce Young, not the best timing as a rookie. Xavier Leggett, he's not separating to give a rookie quarterback the timing that he needs. Four touchdowns for Xavier Leggett. That could be eight. That could be two. It's all over the map. Trying to act like that I have a confident projection in anybody involved in the Carolina Panthers offense would just be an absolutely misleading and ludicrous thing to tell you. So that's where I'm at with Xavier Leggett here. That's where I'm at with the 13 other wide receivers that I just talked about here in the projections episode. We're going to work over the course of the next few weeks here. We're going to talk about running backs. We're going to talk about quarterbacks. We might even talk about the tight end projections. We will, because there's some fun tight end projections as well. Again, the whole thing with the rookie big board here is now that we're post-draft, we're turning it, we're making sure that it's actionable insight and advice, including the projections. And if you want to see this full projection sheet, it is for every offense, every fantasy football relevant player. It is available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, along with the dynasty rankings, the Debbie rankings, the 2024 rookie guide, and potentially the most valuable thing to get, the rookie big board Discord. All that available for just $5 a month over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And as always, I appreciate you checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.